All right, so we're in John chapter 16 tonight, and verses 23 through to 33. So really, verses 23 down to the end of the chapter here. And so again, the Lord Jesus in conversation here with his disciples. If you found your place in John 16, we'll begin in verse 23. It says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so we see here, this is, of course, context before application. And the context here in chapter 16 is, you know, again, this is a much lengthier conversation we've been going through. But he was explaining to them the coming of the Comforter and the things that were going to change and how it was going to be. He's preparing them for him to be crucified and to be buried and then to rise again. And ultimately, he's giving them foreknowledge of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And so in reference to the Holy Spirit, the giving of the Comforter, he's talking about his ascension, and then what ultimately results in the giving of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost. And so this is a passage, by the way, I was really pleased about this, you know, just as Brother On talks about with Revelation, where, you know, you never know it so well, and then you're trying to explain and you need to study. You know, I've read through this, I don't know how many times. And you sort of, sometimes you just sort of, I don't know how I can say it, you sort of bridge it as you're reading it. You maybe don't quite totally understand it, but you just bridge beyond it and go, okay, well, that's sort of a little bit unclear, but okay, you know, he's saying, so there's a few things that in the past just kind of gave me a little bit of a question mark, where he says, "In that day you shall ask me nothing." I was like, okay. There also, he says, "Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name." And I was like, okay. And then verse 26, "In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." And all that kind of stuff, I was like, well, that kind of seems like a little bit negative. Like, he's saying, no, that's not going to happen. And so, you know, there's lots of places in the Bible where he gives, you know, foreknowledge of things that are going to happen. And yet, I'll just say I'm thankful that through... I think more because we've spent so much time in the rest of the other three Gospels and the book of John, that it's very clear to me now what he's talking about. And so Jesus here is teaching the disciples how things are going to be different from what they currently experience. Like, it seems a little strange. The wording of it seems strange to us because we are in the New Testament church age, okay? Jesus Christ has died, was buried, rose again, ascended, and he is at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit has been given, and for us, it's Ephesians 1. We believe the gospel, and we're saved, and we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, and we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. To me, this is one of the clearest places where he's making it clear that's what he wants, okay? And because we've had this discussion before about, like, well, what about praying to Jesus, right? Well, okay, but what does Jesus want for you to do? What is he saying here? What he's really pointing out is that you are going to be praying directly to the Father through the Son. It's not like it was for you during this last 3 years of ministry, where we've been going about and here I am, the Messiah. You believe that I'm the Messiah. You're coming to me and, you know, Master, why can we not cast them out? Right? How are we going to feed these people? Right? They're coming to him with all of these different things. They're coming to him with questions. When is the coming of thy kingdom? Right? When will you restore again to Israel? All these questions coming to him. And he is telling them, and he's told them already that he's going away. He's told them, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Now he's bringing out more of a fullness of what that's going to mean, and it's exciting because he is pointing out how that in his death, burial, and resurrection, that the veil will be rent. That, you know, because right now they're Old Testament. Do you understand? Like, we're pre-cross. So it's priesthood. It's, you know, going to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not New Testament because it's not, it hasn't been, the testator's not dead yet. Does that make sense? And so he is foretelling how things are shortly to come to pass. And he says, because where we ended off, he was pointing out in verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. When Christ is resurrected, their sorrow will be turned into joy. And not only that, when he ascends to the Father and they're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, they'll have Christ in them. And so he says then, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. He's pointing out that we're not, they are not, because this for us is not a reality. We come to God the Father in Jesus' name. He is our intercessor. He is our advocate with the Father. He is our mediator of the New Testament. And so, but for them, it was, you will ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And so, just as we do, like Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. because as believers, as those who are saved, we're in Christ and Christ in us. And so we can pray in his name. He had already forecast this as well. In John 14, he said, again, looking forward, he said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, this is John 14, 13 and 14, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And now he's saying, you don't need to ask me, you ask the Father in my name. And so he says, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Do you see that difference as well? Because they're coming to him and saying, well, we want you to bring this. You know, they're not going directly to the Father. They're coming to him and saying, bring it to the Father. But it's not going to be like that. You see, in John 14, it was like that. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Right? That was, again, the Old Testament. And so it's going to change. He's telling them, this is going to change. And the reason is reconciliation. Reconciliation. The veil was rent. Them that were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection fully satisfies God's righteous demand of death for our sin. And so, God being fully satisfied, we can then have fellowship with him. He says here in verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. And that's repentance and faith. He says, I came forth from the Father. That's the incarnation. And come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Ascension. And as he told them in John 14, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so, we can go to the Father, and this is like he's introducing this very clearly to them, because and you think of the Jews in this crowd, like that, you know, and we've talked about that the just peril fraught system of approaching into the Holy of Holies. Like, that's not something a regular Jew would even consider. That's not even on the map for them. If you weren't the high priest, that one time in the year, you wouldn't go into that place. You wouldn't go to speak with God. No, they, for hundreds and hundreds of years, there was this layer of a sacrificial system and a priesthood, right? Which again, we see so eloquently described in Hebrews. And I've got a few here for that, because he's making it clear that's going to be fulfilled. And because you're believing on me, you're loved to the Father. You can come directly to the Father in my name, because you believe that I came out from God. And so this is the idea. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And so he's making it clear that he will be interceding. He doesn't say not to come. He says, come in my name. We don't come in our own name, right? Why? Because he's our intercessor. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. Again, I think it's relevant because we've been talking about it a lot lately. When you think about security, eternal security, this here is eternal security. He ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. Again, 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Christians. Right? Little children. He's talking about children of God, Christians. This is 1 John 2:1. And if any man sin, we have a what? An advocate. An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. an advocate who, we know from Hebrews 7:25, ever liveth to make an intercession for us. So is there ever a time that he will not make intercession for us when we sin? No. No. This is the way it is to be. From now until we see him face to face, and we're united in heaven, and we're taken out of the very presence of sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and he is able to save us to the uttermost. And so he's explaining how things are different for them. Hebrews 10:19-20, he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And so he's giving them a foretaste of how this is going to be. And it's going to shortly come to pass. He is making it clear that this is coming very soon. He says, you know, behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come. And so we're very, very near to his crucifixion. And so it says then in our text here, verse 29, his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. And so, you know, he's pointed out that I have spoken in verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you in proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly the Father. And again, that's the time we're in now. That's the time we're in now. It's no longer like the mystery has been revealed. That's the sign of the prophet Jonah, right? For as the Son of Man, for as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man is 3 days in the heart of the earth. It's been shown now. So everything's complete. All the tumblers, as it were, are locked into place. All those mysterious things that was hard for them to see. And again, you know, like Sarah and I were talking about it last night, you can really feel for these men because we have everything. And I still scratched my head for, you know, like 17 years over this passage. I kind of went, that's kind of weird language. Anyways, because I just take all of these facts to be just evident. Like that's the way it is. But it wasn't the way it was. And so he's introducing that new and living way to them. Coming directly into the Father. Believer priests. That's something they never could have conceived of before Christ. Believer priests. What an exciting thing. Like, can you imagine just being there and can you comprehend that they would have been like, huh? Because they're saying to him, lo, now speakest thou plainly. It's like, you're still speaking in Proverbs. That's really where they're coming at this. And speakest no proverb. But he's not. See, we know that he's not speaking in a proverb. He's plainly laying it out for them. How you're going to come to the Father. He says, and then they're proclaiming their belief in him. Now, are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And so, again, there's still confusion there. Why? His death, burial, and resurrection has not happened. He's pointing this out. When they say this to him, then in verse 31, Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Now, they just finished saying to him, now are we sure that thou knowest all things? So again, I go, do ye now believe? Well, just like, I think when he said to Peter, lovest thou me? Thou knowest, right? It's like, you know, to me, that should just, whoa, put you back like, oh, okay. Because then he says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. And so he was foretelling the abandonment that he would suffer from his disciples. You know, even Peter, right, who was like, why can't I go right now, you know, where you're going? And oh, we will die for thee. Right? Very bold. We will die for thee. And he said, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And so he says, they'll be scattered. Now, again, that's a prophetic statement. We see that in In Matthew 26:31, it says, Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And so they will scatter. And he's, again, as he told them about everything else that was going to happen, he's telling them that will happen. As we mentioned before, all of these things he's foretelling that later, when they look back at it, they go, he said it all. He knows every, he is God. He's God. He told us this was going to happen. That they would have comfort. That, you know, when the resurrected Christ would appear, you know, and we see later, and we'll get into it. Like, I mean, they were still afraid, right? But it's like, it's all true. It's all real. He told us we would do this, and then we did it. And so he's doing that for their benefit. And even though it seems kind of like, you know, that would be embarrassing, he's telling them, you're going to all flee. You know, you could imagine in our pride, if you're sitting there hearing that going, maybe them, but not me. Right? Everybody thinks that until the chips are down. But God knows us. He knows us. And so, but he says, you'll all be scattered. He said, you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. And, you know, what's exciting about that is he's pointing out that the Father's faithfulness, the unity between Father and Son. And that's a picture as well, I think, of when we're in Christ, we can have that same confidence. Like Hebrews 13:5-6 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, even though all of his disciples abandoned him for fear of what man would do to them, yet again, he humbled himself and died in our place, and he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. It doesn't matter what the situation is. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never leave thee. That word never means never. Can I say it? Never. When's he ever going to leave you? Never. Exactly. Like capital N-E-V-R, you know, like they do now, N period E-V, you know. Like, yeah, never. He'll never leave us. Because it's not up to us to keep in his good graces. The debt's been paid. It's on his integrity that we're kept. It's on his sufficiency that we're kept. It's on his payment. That's the merit. The merit is Christ's payment for us. We're redeemed. We have the robe of righteousness. We've been washed in the blood. You're clean every whit. It can't be more clear. And so, he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then he says in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. He just told them they were going to abandon him. That's why I tell you, he's foretelling this for later. Again, God knows the end from the beginning. That in me you might have peace, real peace, the peace that Christ brings, knowing that they are safe in Jesus Christ, because these disciples, you know, we think of the apostles, all but John martyred, right? They gave their lives. But they did so, they were just as bold as a lion after the resurrection. On the day of Pentecost, Peter just preached a message that just makes my hair stand up, you know? Like, who you with wicked hands have crucified and slain, like, woo, you know. I think of Stephen, you know, getting martyred, just laying it down. Exciting, bold preaching. We can be just as bold having confidence in God, because we can come directly to the Father in Jesus' name. That's a tight, intimate relationship. It doesn't get any more intimate than that. And that's what he's trying to show these Old Testament Jews, is that it's about to get a lot tighter here. It's not just this temporal, you know, oh, the kingdom's going to come. We're going to rule. You're going to sit on the seat of David's throne. Like, no, I'm going to give you a relationship with my Father that is direct, where you go right to him. And, you know, to me, it just became so much clearer, like this question of praying to Jesus. It's like he's giving you the absolute gold standard to come to the Father in his name. You know, it's like, and no offense here, but why would I have strawberry when I can have chocolate? Okay, you know, that's chocolate ice cream's my favorite. I'm just saying, it's all good, but there's good, better, best. And when he gives us free and open entry to God the Father, we take it. And we just are so thankful for it. And so he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. That sounds like, huh. Ye shall, you know, it's like the missionary to Peru.
Greenwood.
He preached a message here quite a number of years ago. He said, don't worry, everything's not going to be okay. And I appreciated that. I really appreciated that. Don't worry, everything's not going to be okay. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. It's not you have overcome the world. You have not. We are nothing. We can't overcome the world. We can't dominate. We're never going to walk the halls of power. Do we understand that? We are living quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And those who are in the halls of power, they may decide to wipe us out at a whim. But Jesus has overcome the world. Colossians chapter 2, I think there's so many aspects to that victory that's exciting to think about. Just a couple here as we finish up. Colossians 2, 13, 14, 15. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Again, all means all, and that's all that all means. Forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Like, can that mental image not be burned into your mind any deeper? Where's the law that convicts you and sends you to hell? Nailed to his cross, that's where it is. Victory. Victory in Jesus. That's what that is. Having spoiled principalities and powers. Again, Satan gets no vote on your salvation. He has snatched you. That's, again, I just appreciate Brother Darren saying, like, never mind, people don't bring gates into battle. We go. Snatched out of the gates of hell. They shall not prevail against us, because when we go with the glorious light of the gospel, and a man hears that gospel, and the Holy Spirit gives acknowledgement to the truth, Satan gets no vote. Liberated. The bars are torn away and he's set free. Great liberty. Dead in sins, everlasting life. It couldn't be more different. There's no greater change than that. You know, it's like they say the greatest magnitude change is to go from zero to one, from nothing, the absence of substance, to something. Well, from death to everlasting life, there's no greater. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Triumphing. And so, again, like, this is the victory that's been won, and the free entrance we have because of what he's purchased for us. You're bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's the payment. If the accuser comes, but you've done this and that. It's like, but Jesus. But what about Jesus? What about his sacrifice? Again, forgiven all trespasses. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so who's that that's in us when we're saved? It's Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We talked about hope this morning. Again, we're hopeful people. Expectant hope. We expect to be resurrected. Why? Because Christ was resurrected. And so by that same power, the Bible tells us that we know that we will be resurrected, because that same power from the Father that resurrected the Lord Jesus will resurrect us on that final day. And so greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That one that when he's finally exposed for who he is, they'll look upon him and wonder, is this the man? He's pathetic. Right now, you know, again, we ought not be cocky about it. As a roaring lion, he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And if you get cocky about him, he will eat you up. But if you walk circumspectly, if we walk in the Spirit, then he that's in us, he can't touch us. He cannot touch us. We only, when we give him permission to do so, can he get us in the flesh. We've got to give permission. But if we submit ourselves to God, then we have fellowship. The Bible tells us we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Finally, when we think about this victory, Revelation 17:14, it says here, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And so, this is the Jesus that's dwelling in you. King of kings and Lord of lords. He is our intercessor. He is our advocate with the Father. He is our mediator. And we can come to him directly. And so, as he lays this out for these, as I said, these Old Testament Jews, I mean, when that finally soaked into them, you know, that's where it's hard for us to identify with them here in this time, because it's so different than the current gospel age that we're in. But when that finally soaked in, I think we can identify with that, can't we? Is that not what happened to your heart when you realized, like I remember the day, when I realized that nothing else matters, that I can be reconciled with the God of all heaven through Jesus Christ, and nobody could stop me. And it didn't matter how many people would hate on me, but I could have victory. And I could come straight to God the Father through Jesus Christ. And that would never be denied me, ever, ever, ever. No matter who would, you know, leave me, my family, my friends, I would have him. I would always have him forever. And I tell you, all these years, that has been the thing that just keeps the fire lit. Like, yeah, people want to go wrong. You know, they want to go off on the wayside and become a dead carcass on the side of the road. That's on them. But I am not obligated to do that, and neither are you. And so this amazing thing that he's introducing to them, to me, it's just such an encouragement. When I finally could see it for what he was explaining, I was like, wow, what an exciting announcement. And yet, you know, again, it shows us how often we're blind just because we're seeing things from a different perspective, where they're saying, you know, now speak is no proverb, right? Maybe God is speaking to you even about something now that to you is just a little bit unclear. And if we understood, if we could just submit ourselves to him and let him work, we would have excitement. We would be excited about what he's doing. Maybe it's a trial. I don't know what it is, but I know that God is working in all of our lives. If we're believers, he loves us. He's a good father, and he is working. And so, you know, we have this, what was described to them, we have it now. And so let's take full advantage of it. As Brother Ron Apley says, keep short accounts with God, because we have that. I mean, we don't have to wait once a year like the great high priest, you know? It's any time and all times. And so let's take him at his word. Let's believe him. And let's appropriate this that was introduced here to these believers. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, we just love you tonight. It's just so amazing to know that this is real for us, that we have entrance in to the Holy of Holies through the Lord Jesus Christ, that the veil was rent, and them that are far off, that's us, that we're just far off. We were not part of that system. We are Gentiles. We are just aliens to the commonwealth. And yet you've made us nigh by the blood of Christ. And we're so thankful for that tonight, Lord. I pray that you would work in our hearts, that we would really just dwell on that, that we would just bask in that light of that knowledge, that would give us joy in our heart. Lord, that we would then use that opportunity and cast all our cares on thee, because we know that you do care for us, that we would bring all of our heavy burdens to you and just lay them down and let you take them. You've promised that you would, and that we would take your yoke upon us. And Lord, just follow you in faith. We love you tonight, Lord. We're just excited with what you're trying to do in our lives, if we would only acknowledge thy working and submit and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he desires to do, which is in accordance with thy will, that we might walk in a way that glorifies thee and points people to Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray that you'd bless tonight as we think on this, and that through the week to come, you would just open our eyes to the joy of our salvation. And as we go out to share the gospel with others, that you would just make those divine appointments, give us wisdom as we share thy word. And we pray that you would just prepare hearts in the way that we can be an eternal blessing to someone as we give them the words of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray you dismiss us tonight with thy blessing. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Lord bless.